We are finishing up today, or hopefully we're finishing up today, in 1 Timothy chapter 6. We started last week and did the first part of it, and we talked about how we as Christians and slaves back during this time were supposed to treat their masters, how to treat those that were unsaved and those that were saved. And then we looked at the doctrine of godliness and how the destructiveness of money can cause us all problems. And we talked a little bit about false teachers. Well, this morning we want to start out and we're going to use three small points here. The first one's going to be the determination of the man of God. If you found your place there, let's look in chapter 6 and begin in verse 11 and read just a few verses here. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll stop right there. Paul's been teaching Timothy about the things that he's going to face as he goes back to begin pastoring the church at Ephesus. And he's telling him, while you're there and you're dealing with all the people, you're shepherding those people, there's something you need to understand. You need to take care of the congregation, Timothy, but you also need to be careful about yourself and make sure that you don't neglect yourself in your spiritual walk in life. And that's very important. As a pastor, we take for granted a lot of times that it's all about us, but pastor has to be careful to take care of himself and make sure that he's walking in line with God's will as well. And I think Charles Spurgeon has a quote here, I think kind of sums it up. He said, "Nothing can be more absurd than for man to take his hoe and weed everybody else's garden and leave all the thorns and thistles to flourish in his own plot." I think that pretty well sums it up. Timothy's got to take care of his flock. He's got to take care of the members, because there are lots of problems that he's going to be dealing with there in Ephesus, and we've talked about those, but he's just reminding him. Paul says, you've got to be careful that you don't fall short in your spiritual life. You've got to stay close to God, and that's important for him. And in doing that, he tells him, be sure not to neglect yourself. Just remember, God has to work in us before he can work through of us. And we need to all remember that too. We need to keep ourselves in the will of God. We need to be as close to the Lord as we possibly can for him to be able to use us. He needs to work in us before he can work through us. And then he gives him a challenge and a charge here. And in the challenge, he uses three points there in our outline. The first one, he says to flee. Look back at that. It says to flee these things and follow after righteousness. Now, he's not talking about running right here. He's talking about separating himself from those things that we just talked about last week, the love of money and the lust for material things. And he says, be sure that you separate that yourself from things like that. Separate yourself from false teachers, because they're going to teach anything but the truth. So he says, flee after that and follow. Follow after righteousness. He's talking about his personal character there. Follow after godliness, your reverence for God, your relationship with God. Be faithful. It's love. He lists love there. It's that agape kind of love that cares more for others than self. And then patience. He's talking about endurance there. He's telling Timothy, there, a lot of things are going to happen. There's a big mess there. He sends him back to Ephesus where he'd been with Paul. in past times, and he said, there's some things you're going to have to clean up, and it's going to take some patience. You're going to have to endure. That's what he's telling you. You're going to have to endure, Paul, Timothy. And when things get tough, you just have to keep on going. When I was in the Army, I was in Charlie Company, and our little saying was, when the tough gets going, when going gets tough, the tough get going. And that's kind of what he's telling Timothy right here. He said, expect it, but work through it. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Go on. Then he says, fight the good fight of faith. That's an action word. It's not passive. Continue to fight. Always be ready to fight. And it's not a physical battle. We know that. He's talking about a spiritual battle, the same spiritual battle that we deal with daily. And we need to be on guard at all times, knowing that Satan can't touch our soul once we get saved. But if he can cause us to lose fellowship with the Lord, if he can cause us to fall into some kind of sin, he's accomplished all that he's going to be able to accomplish. But he's working every day through every situation that he possibly can to cause us to stumble. Why? To get us off track. Also, so that we will be a stumbling block to others. And the one thing we don't want to be as Christians is a stumbling block to those that are unsaved. We have to guard our testimony. And he's telling here, Timothy, you got to fight the fight of faith. Do your best to win that battle. We need to do our best every day to win a battle. How do we do that? Stay in God's word. Stay in close relationship with God. Fellowship with the Lord. Allow him to speak to us through his word, and then pray to him. It all comes back to basics many times in our Christian life. The basics are staying in God's word, praying, allowing God to speak to us, and then let the Holy Spirit. God gave us the Holy Spirit for a reason. He knew how weak we are and that we needed guidance. We needed someone to point us in the right direction and keep us pointed there. But he also tells us in his word, he gives us the Holy Spirit to teach us. We need to allow him to teach us. We need to allow him to guide and direct us. It's one thing to have the Holy Spirit living within us, but it's another thing to be yielded to the Holy Spirit and let him guide us in every facet of our life. There's no decision too large and no decision too small that we shouldn't take it to the Holy Spirit and allow him to speak to us. So he's telling Paul, you got to fight the good fight there. And then in verse 12 there, the latter part of that verse there, it says, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Paul has been at Ephesus before with Paul. As you'll recall, he was there with him a number of years. Then they moved on, but he's sending him back now. The people there know Timothy. They know what his witness is. They know what his testimony is. And he said, telling Timothy, you've been called to God. You've been chosen to do this. And they, many witnesses, many people have noticed that. And then he goes on to the next verse. He says, I give thee charge in the sight of God. Other witnesses, God and the Lord Jesus Christ. They witness everything we do, every facet of our life. And he says, you know what? God's in control. He's chosen you for this. But I'm giving you this charge, having you to understand that he is watching over you. He's in control. And then he's going to give him a charge. Look back at verse 13 there. I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here he's talking about Jesus was a good witness. As he stood before Pilate, you remember he was taken before Pilate. He was accused of being the king of Jews. And Pilate said, you know, they say and you say that you're the king of Jews. He didn't back up. God stood his ground And he's telling Timothy right here, listen, when things get tough, you need encouragement, you need help, think about Jesus and the way that he withstood Pilate right there. And that's the way you can be. You can take that as an example. You can take it as encouragement that you can use in your spiritual battle. And in verse 14 there, Paul specifically points out, fight the good fight of faith. In other words, he's saying, faithfully and purely preach the gospel and then live it. It's one thing to preach something, it's another thing to practice it, isn't it? That's why I love when Pastor speaks. He, most of the time at the end, he gives application. He said, this is what I've taught you. This is what God's word says. Now this is how you apply it to your life. We all need application. And when we take God's word and we apply it, that's when we're a good witness. That's when we're living in God's will. There's nothing greater than being right in the center of God's will. So he's telling Timothy, those are the things that you need to do. And you need to preach the gospel purely. Don't deviate. Don't fall into false preaching like some are doing. Unrebukable. Without blame. He's telling Paul once again there, you be bold in your preaching, but you also have to live it yourself too. That's the way we are. Ask yourself sometimes as you're doing a checkup, where am I as far as my Christian walk? Ask the Lord, Lord, am I where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Point out to me those things that I need to change to make sure that I'm in your will. I think sometimes we have to be very direct when it comes to the Lord and our witness in our life. And many times we want to take the high road, the easy road, and not be concerned about it. Hey, I go to church. I give. I do this. I do that. But is it exactly where God wants you to do? Is it exactly where you're supposed to be, living the way you're supposed to live? And many times as I do that, I find out there's some little things that have creeped in. And I have to be very careful about that. If you live in the world and work in the world, you're susceptible to picking up habits, bad habits. That's why we got to stay in God's word. We have to stay close to him as we possibly can. We're all sinners at best. Praise the Lord, we're saved. But we still fight the battle of the flesh until the Lord calls us home or comes back and gets us. And then he's going to list some things here concerning the coming of Christ. And why is he doing this? Why is he going to list these things? He's trying to encourage Timothy to make sure and to decide that Jesus Christ alone is worthy of our worship and of our complete devotion. He's the Lord number one in our lives. Many times we need to ask ourselves, am I putting the Lord first above everything else? It's pretty easy to put him second sometimes, isn't it, behind other things. But he points out these characteristics of Jesus. He said, he's the blessed and only potentate. That word potentate comes from the origin word power. Kings and presidents, I won't mention names or kings or presidents, think they are the most powerful people in the world, but they are not. God is powerful overall. He's sovereign over everything. Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's immortal. He's not subject to death. Jesus came and died for a purpose, but he lives forever. He's not subject to death. Christ dwelled in the light which no man can approach. God's unapproachable. No man's ever seen the essence of God, the Spirit. And we, to whom honor and power and everlasting glory. We're supposed to glorify the Lord in all that we do. We shouldn't be different. I've probably told you this story before, but I'll tell you one more time real quick. When I was in high school, way back when, we used to make fun of the Pentecostals because None of them wore makeup. They wore their high and the big tall bun. You remember that? Y'all remember that. Don't look at me like that. And wore long dresses. And we used to make fun of them. But you know what? I learned a lesson out of that. It didn't hit me till I got saved. But the lesson I learned was, you know, appearances are deceptive, okay? And the fact is, they were different. They were bold enough to say, I'm different. And as a Christian, at first I was not. So we need to be bold in our witness. Do people at work know we're Christians? Our people around, our family and everything? You know, family is the hardest people in the world to talk to, aren't they? About salvation, about serving the Lord. I have a sister-in-law right now that's slowly dying. And I've talked to her about the Lord, and she assures me she's saved. Yet she still falls back on the old traditional things that she grew up in. And she doesn't have the assurance of her salvation. She doesn't have that peace that God gives. And I have to talk to her one more time before she passes away. And I'm praying that God will help me, give me the right words to say that will open her eyes to realize. And in doing that, since she falls back on those old traditions, once again, I'll go over the plan of salvation with her. But our testimony, our witness, should be one of boldness. And then he moves on to another point, and he talks about point number two there, the decisions for the rich. You know, he's already spoken in the early part of the chapter about the love of money and materialism and things like that. But now he's going to give a special charge to the rich people. Being wealthy or being blessed of God, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's awesome. But there's some things we need to keep in mind. And he's telling Timothy, those people that are wealthy and want to do right and know they're blessed of God, there's some things they need to understand too. And he's going to point them out to him right here. So he gives them this special charge. And this can also apply to us. I always try to apply it to us. Negatively speaking, he said, that they be not high-minded. Look at verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Don't be high-minded. Don't be proud. Don't be conceited. Don't be arrogant. Be humble. God's blessed you with riches. Be humble about it. Use them appropriately. That they trust not in uncertain riches. You know, we read about all the time about people that are well off, wealthy, and thieves come and steal their money. If you keep up with the stock exchange, you have to be very careful in investments, because sometimes investments don't pan out. Or if you have a 401k, you know how it can go up and down, up and down. So riches can be fleeting. And also, time has a way of dealing with material things that God blesses us with, like our homes, our vehicles, things like that. So don't be counting on and don't trust in uncertain riches, he says. But then there's a positive side. He said that they trust in the living God. We need to trust the giver more than we do the gift. That they do good. That they be rich in good works. In other words, they're willing to share their resources, and they use that money to do some positive things and some positive deeds in their lives. And he said, when they do good works, they need to be ready to distribute, willing to communicate. In other words, if you have wealth, God's blessed you with the ability to help people, help them in a lot of different ways. Not always monetarily. There are other ways, but when you are blessed of God, be sure to use it for the blessings of others. And I think just a simple lesson that we take. We get saved. We don't go straight to heaven. We go through a period of a of time that should be growth. It's called sanctification, being set apart for God. But that's a process. It's a lifelong process. It's not a one-time thing. And during that time, we're supposed to grow, and we're supposed to be becoming more like Jesus. Well, if Jesus is our example, what was his whole ministry? It was toward others, not himself. God's blessed us with wealth, with riches. Our ministry also should be about others. How can we be a blessing to others? How can we use this wealth in a way that would be praise and honor and glory to him? And it says, laying up and store for themselves a good foundation against the time. Investing in eternal things. We're only here for a short while, but we're going to be in heaven for eternity. So the things that we should be investing in here are not just monetarily. There's nothing wrong with monetarily investing your money, but we should be more conscious of investing things that we can send to heaven ahead of us. The good deeds, the actions. There's nothing more exciting to see somebody with wealth to be a blessing to others. I think of R.G. Letourneau, guy who was a brilliant engineer and founded a school. He invented a lot of the major huge machinery that we see in construction today, these big old utes and things like that that drive around. He's the one that pioneered that. He was extremely wealthy. And at the time of his death, he was giving 91% of his money back to the Lord, helping others, living on 9%. You know, he was in the middle of God's will. I can't think of anything that would be more satisfying to do God's will with what he's given us. And then quickly we need to run through point number 3, the dedication required for Timothy. What's he talking about? Timothy, there's some things that you're going to be responsible for. Warren Wiersbe had a quote I thought kind of summed that up. He said, God committed the truth to Paul, and Paul has committed it to Timothy. And it has now become Timothy's responsibility to guard it and then pass it on to others who would be faithful to pass it on to more. We're the others. We need to be passing it on. He said, Timothy, you've been given a lot. You've been given salvation. You've been given a lot of wisdom working with Paul the Apostle. You've learned the doctrines of the church. Now you need to be faithful to pass it on. One of the problems in our society today is that parents haven't passed on things they should pass on to their children. We need to be careful to pass on those things God has given us and taught us to others at every opportunity. And that's a responsibility that was given to him. He said, keep that which is committed to you, to thy trust. That's what he's talking about. Then he said, there's some restraints that are needed in your ministry. Avoid profane and vain babblings. Don't be influenced by them. That word profane could be translated irreverent. So be careful. Don't take part in empty discussions and vain or useless matters. Stick to God's word. Why? So you, as you teach and as you lead, people won't be led astray. Give them the truth above everything else. And that avoiding oppositions of science, falsely so-called. That's kind of a tricky line there. The science that it's talking about is not the science that we relate to technology and changes and things like that. That word was translated knowledge. I think maybe only the King James Version is the same one. Still the one that uses the word science. He said science, and as we know it, and religion always match up. And so give them real knowledge. That's what he's saying. Be opposed to those pseudo sciences. Those people, you could list, have a list of isms. I think here he's probably talking about Gnosticism, which was prevalent in Ephesus at that time. And we don't have time to go into all that, but he needs to avoid. He's telling Timothy, you need to avoid all that stuff and don't get caught up in it. Bottom line is, we're stewards of the doctrines of the faith. God expects us to share that goodness, share the good news, share the doctrines, the teachings that we've been taught. Make sure that we don't just drop the ball and it stops with us. So Paul is finished in 1 Timothy here, and we'll take up 2 Timothy beginning next week. But he's still trying to prepare Paul, Timothy, for all the things that he's going to face at Ephesus. And he's given him a lot of good advice. And you know, most of it still pertains to us today. That's the great thing about God's word, is he uses examples, parables, etc. He means for us to use it in our lives today. Application, apply, apply, apply. So study, read over 2 Timothy chapter 1 for next week. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this letter that Paul sends personally to Timothy. Letter to Timothy, but a letter to us, Lord, on how we need to act, how we need to react as we deal with people in this world, in this culture in which we live today. Help us to always go back to your word when we have questions, when we have doubts, because we know within your word we're going to find the solution. Help us to utilize your Holy Spirit that you've given us to guide us and direct us and teach us. Help us to listen as the Holy Spirit gives us guidance, that we might be the best witnesses that we can possibly be, that we can live in such a way that we bring praise and honor and glory to you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for that plan of salvation that's free to all. I pray you'd give us opportunities to witness this week, and that we'd be bold in our witness. We'd not pass them up. And help us to remember, God has chosen us to be his messenger here on earth at this time. Thank you once again for all the wonderful blessings you give us. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.